Morning to the book of Hebrews, please, and chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Some of you will remember a couple of weeks ago we started a little series entitled The One and Others, and we want to continue that this morning. We looked at the need to bear one another's burdens, and of course that's true in a general sense, but in that case specifically it's about bearing the burden of a brother or sister who's got away from the Lord. And you and I have a responsibility to draw alongside, to try and encourage, to try and help, and try and bring that person back into that relationship, that close relationship with the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're reading from verse number 24. Just two verses, 24 and 25, but as ever, keep your Bibles open. We'll be referring to some other scriptures this morning. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, and inspired word to our hearts this morning. Can I remind you of the burden in my heart as I began this little series? I know as a church we're involved in a lot of outreach, and we've had a time with the ladies in their walk, we've our gospel meeting, we've the children's work that has just come to an end, and of course we've got the coaching coming up with the football and our drive-in church which starts tonight. And it's great to have all these outreaches, and it's great for you personally to seek to reach others with the wonderful news of the gospel. The Lord Jesus said this in John 13 verse 35, by this shall all men know. And that's our desire. We want all the men to know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. And our relationship one to another is the greatest tool in evangelism. If our relationship as God's people is right one to another, then the Lord Jesus says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Jesus said in John 17 verse 21, in his high priestly prayer, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. We want the world to believe. We want those out of Christ, as they listen to the gospel, as they look at our lives, we want them to believe. You want your wife saved, your husband saved, your family saved. Well, as they look at us, they're looking for that one another relationship. What's the relationship like among the people of God? And so that's why I want to look at these one another's. You'll notice in our reading this morning there are two of them. In verse number 24 it says, consider one another. And when you come to verse number 25, it talks about exhorting one another. Now the one another is not in the original, the second one. You'll notice that it's in italics. But it's put there because it throws us back to verse 24. It has to be there to balance the Greek out. So the exhorting one another and considering one another. I want to really think about exhorting one another. And we'll say a bit about the word in a few moments' time. But notice it says consider one another. That word consider is only used in one other place in Hebrews. And it's talking about Christ, and it says consider him. Now to consider Christ means you study him. It means you focus upon him. It means your mind is centered in Christ. Now take that word and apply it to your relationship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Are we focused on them? Do we think about them? Do we see how things are going? Have we a real interest in each other? I'm talking about being a nosy parker. I'm not talking about meddling in some other person's business. I'm talking about a genuine Christ-like interest in those who know and love the Savior just like you. I want to think especially of verse number 25 where it talks about exhorting one another. The basic meaning of that word is to encourage. It's translated by the word exhort, by admonish, by teach, by beg, by entreat, by beseech, by comfort, to encourage. There's a whole host of meanings that you could attach to that word. And we'll see in a few moments, I'm going to look at some verses where the word is found that may be translated differently. But I'm going to put the word encourage in there. You and I, as believers, are to encourage one another. Are you an encourager this morning? The dictionary defines it like this: the act of inspiring others with renewed courage, renewed spirit, or renewed hope. The dictionary will define it, Scripture admonishes it, and the people of God should put it into practice. Dr. David Jeremiah said this, the power of encouragement. Some of the greatest success stories of history have followed a word of encouragement from a loved one or a trusted friend. When life is tiring, when you're struggling with your sin, when family members aren't saved, when bills aren't paid, when school is difficult, when work is exhausting, when your health is failing, when your loved ones are hurt, when the future is unsure, and when a good friend leaves, it's easy to be discouraged. Just a word of encouragement. Just a genuine interest in someone else. The opposite of encouragement is discouragement. And when someone is discouraged, it's a thief. Discouragement steals your vitality, your zeal, your joy, your peace, your contentment. Maybe you're discouraged this morning and you don't have that zeal anymore. You hear about the Holy Bible Club coming up, but you have no interest. There's coaches needed for the football, but you have no interest. There's help needed at the drive-in. There's so much to be done, but discouragement has robbed you of your zeal, robbed you of your interest. There are those that you could invite, you could bring them along, even to the drive-in church. If you're looking for someone neutral, people will say to me sometimes, well, it's hard to get people into a church. I know that. Some have said to me, it's not easy getting some people into an orange hall. I know that. But you can't get anything more neutral than a market yard car park. There's no labels, there's no banners, there's no flags. It's just the preaching of the gospel, that's all. Can't make it any more neutral. So what an opportunity. But the truth is, discouragement has robbed you of the interest, robbed you of the zeal, robbed you of the joy of the Lord. If you like, discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past. It's distaste for the present, and it's a distrust for the future. Is that how you feel this morning? Are you an encourager this morning? Are you a discourager this morning? Are you encouraged this morning? Or are you discouraged this morning? Of course, keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ is key to the greatest encouragement. And we'll say a bit more about that as we look through the message this morning, God willing. We all need to be encouraged. The word here is the word parakletos, and it's very similar to the word used for the Holy Spirit. Same root word, when the Holy Spirit is described as the comforter. And so when we encourage, we're doing the work of the Lord. We're being like the Spirit of God, the great comforter, the great encourager that comes along. Now, I hated Latin at school. Really hated it. I had to do it for a couple of years. It was the most boring language in the world. But at the heart of the English word encouragement is a Latin word cor, C-O-R, and it's the word for heart. Encouragement puts heart into someone. You brighten up their heart. You lift their heart. Flatter me, and I will not believe you. Criticize me, and I will not like you. Ignore me, and I may not forgive you. Encourage me, and I'll never forget you. Children love to be encouraged and need to be encouraged. I heard a story about a wee lad, and he wanted to play darts. His dad didn't know the first thing about darts. And he says, what am I supposed to do? And he says to his dad, you just stand there and I'll throw and you say, well done. You say, well done. We all love to be encouraged. And it's so easy to encourage people. William Barclay wrote this, it's easy to laugh at men's ideals. It's easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time a word of praise or thanks or appreciation of cheer has kept a man on his feet. Blessed is the man that speaks such a word. Let's think of being an encourager this morning, encouraging one another. Let me give you some incentives this morning. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1, Paul said this, now I, Paul, myself beseech you. See the word beseech? It's the same word, encourage. Paul, it could have been translated like this, I encourage you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Christ was an encourager. Do you remember when Peter said to some of the disciples, I go a-fishing? The Lord had told him he was going to meet them on the mountain. Peter seems got fed up waiting. And he said to a few of them, he was a bit of a ringleader, let's go fishing. So they come down from the mountain, they get onto the shore, they get onto the ship, and they headed out into the midst of the sea. And of course, they toiled all night and they caught absolutely nothing. They were so discouraged, they were disheartened, they were disappointed. And as they were coming in the morning, they could see this figure of someone on the shore. And standing on the shore of their disappointment was the person of Jesus Christ. Have ye any meat? Do you remember he prepared for them just exactly what they needed and when they needed? He took an interest in them, he helped them, and he gave them exactly what they needed. He was an encourager. And he met the discouraged saints at that point of discouragement. We want to be like Christ this morning. We'll be encouragers. Remember the Redeemer. Think about what we have received. Paul in Romans 12 verse 1 said this, you'll know this verse. I beseech you therefore. He could have said, I encourage you therefore by the mercies of God. Think of the mercies of God. Indeed, the book of Romans chapter 1 to 11 is all about the mercies of God. And when Paul sets out the mercy of God, he then says, I beseech you, I encourage you, brethren, by the mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? Well, we read in Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, even though we were sinners. We didn't deserve it. The Lord reaches out to us. How much he must have loved us. What an encouragement to know that he loved you when you were a sinner. And he still loves you this morning. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What an encouragement. You're saved. You're secure in Christ this morning. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Romans 6 verse 14. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. You have the victory this morning in your life. You see how we can encourage one another by the mercies of God, by all that the Lord has done. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Even the sovereignty of God, what a blessing. What an encouragement this morning to know that God is still on the throne and he will remember his own. The Redeemer is an encouragement for you and I to be encouragers. What we have received, our relationship to Christ should make us encouragers. Paul again said in Romans 15:30, I beseech you, I encourage you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Paul says we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And he uses the word beseech, the same word there again. Because we're saved, we should be Christ-like. And again, because we have the relationship with Christ, we should be encouragers. And of course, because we have the relationship with each other. Ye are witnesses, Paul said, and God also, how holy and justly and unblamely we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Paul recognized his responsibility to fellow believers. There are many incentives this morning that you and I should be encouragers. I'm going to mention some imperatives this morning, some commandments this morning. If you're in Hebrews 10, look at verse 19. See what the Hebrew writer says. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Notice the having. Look at verse 21. And having an high priest over the house of God. You have so much. You have so many blessings. And with those blessings comes responsibility. And that's what's spelled out. Look at verse 22. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. This is our worship. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. That's our witness. Look at verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's our work. I just want you to notice the words, let us. The word saint never appears in Scripture in the singular. It's always plural. The Lord never envisages a lone ranger Christian. We need each other. And it's shown clearly here in Scripture. We need each other. We have a responsibility to each other. We have so much. Let us, not let me, let us. See something clearly. Flick back to Hebrews 3 verse 15. I want to show you something that should be daily. Hebrews 3 verse 13. And again, the Hebrew writer says, see the word exhort, it's our same word, encourage. But encourage one another daily. You see something clearly, we have a responsibility to each other. You see something daily. This is to be the constant theme of our lives. But notice something urgently here. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, not tomorrow, today. Someone needs encouragement, don't you wait till tomorrow. Someone needs to be encouraged, don't you wait until the future. Someone needs to hear from you. Someone needs that encouragement from you. Someone needs that word from you. Maybe in your family. Maybe in the church. Maybe a colleague at work. Someone, some child of God, needs to be encouraged. You see something clearly? We have that responsibility. You see something daily. We are to encourage one another daily. You see something urgently while it is called today. There's that need, that imperative, that command for you and I to encourage one another. Now I want to come to what I've called the implementation. In what way should we encourage? I want you to come to Acts 14. I'm going to take you through a few scriptures, but they're in order, hopefully, and we'll do it very quickly. In what way should we encourage others this morning? I think we need to encourage stability. Stability. In Acts 14, Paul is on his way back from his first missionary journey. He's going back to Antioch from where the journey had set out. And on the way back, if you look at Acts 14, verse 22, just look at the end of verse 19, because you'll read there that Paul was stoned. And it says that he was stoned to death. Now, many people believe that Paul actually died. Now, I'm not going into that this morning, but one thing was sure, Paul was stoned. He knew what it was to suffer. And he's on his way back from his first missionary journey, and look what he does in verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples, and here's our word, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now, look what he says, that we must go through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, he didn't say to them, cheer up, it might never happen. And it is true, sometimes it might never happen, but Paul didn't say that. Paul says, listen, it probably will happen. We have to be honest with each other. Yes, you're going to have difficult times. You're going to have troubled times. And times your faith is really going to be tested. And a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And God's going to test your faith. And there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be trials. There's going to be problems. And any of you are saved this morning, you're not saved long till you realize this. But you see what Paul wanted to do in the midst of the much tribulation. He exhorted them to continue in the faith. He said to them, remain strong. Keep standing. Keep going on with the Lord. Do you encourage others to stability? Not only stability. Come over to the next chapter, Acts 15. Because encouragers use the scriptures. Now this chapter is all about a problem they were having in the church. Some had come down and tried to add circumcision to the gospel. And so they had a meeting and they had a statement, if you like, prepared. And two men, Judas and Silas are sent out to bring the word of the Lord, if you like. Look at Acts 15, verse 32. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, and here's our word again, exhorted the brethren with many words. Now, what are they bringing? They're bringing the word of the Lord. See, if you want to encourage someone, bring the word of the Lord. It's all right to have little quips. It's all right to have little sayings, and I see them all the time. You see them on the internet, you sometimes see them on billboards, and that's fine. But I tell you, you can't beat the Word of God. You want to encourage someone? Bring the Word of God. You see, you want to encourage them to stability. You want to encourage them in the Scriptures. Something else you want to do, turn over to Romans 16, just moving forward a little bit. Romans 16, verse 17. I really need to get a move on. Romans 16, verse 17. How do you encourage people? Stability. Keep at it. Put your arm around them. Say, let's keep going. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on your faith. Don't walk away from the Lord. Encourage them with the scriptures. Bring the word of God upon the situation. Encourage them to stick together. Look at verse 17 of Romans 16. Now I beseech you, here's our word again. We could entitle it, or we could translate it, I encourage you, brethren. I encourage you, brethren. I beseech you, brethren. Mark, see the word mark, it's the Greek word scope, where you get microscope and telescope. Keep your eye on them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. False teachers were coming in and leading a people away from true teaching. We still have it today. False teachers come in, lead good people away. Well, this was happening at the church in Rome. And so Paul was saying, I encourage you to stick together. Watch those who cause division. Watch them. Keep your eye on them. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, same word again. I beseech you, I encourage you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Philippians 4 verse 2, I beseech, I encourage Eudeus and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind. Two women had fallen out in the church at Philippi, and were causing untold damage. And Paul's encouraging them to get together. Do you encourage people to stick together, or do you cause division? An encourager encourages unity. A discourager could cause division. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let me mention a few more. You don't have to turn to these scriptures. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. I exhort, I encourage therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, encourage people through prayer. Through your praying and through encouraging them to pray. Encourage people with sanctification. 1 Peter 2 verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, same word again, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We encourage each other to live pure lives. Don't cover over sin. Don't make little of sin. If some brother or sister is in sin, you have to be honest with them. We're to encourage each other to godly living, because that's where you get real joy, real peace, real satisfaction, real contentment. We are to encourage each other in stability, in supplication, in sanctification, and in sorrowful times. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4 talks about how those who are comforted are able to comfort others. It's the same word. Again, the same word is used in 1 Thessalonians 4 when he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. We are to be encouragers when God's people are going through sorrowful times. Now, come back to Hebrews 10. We'll try and finish this off. Hebrews 10, verse 24. I'll tie this together in a few moments, I promise you. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And this was our reading this morning. Let us consider one another to provoke. See the word provoke, it's usually used in a negative sense. It was used of Paul and Barnabas when they fell out. There was a sharp contention. That's the same word between them. But here it's a positive sense. It could be translated stir up. It could be translated stimulate. And let us stimulate one another. Let us consider one another to stimulate, to stir up unto love and to good works. So here's how you want to encourage someone. You want to encourage them when it comes to the supreme thing, love. Do you encourage love? And then you see service here as well. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Of course, good works is service. You see the supreme thing and you see service. Then look at verse 25. I've just called this seats. You'll understand why in a moment. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Here is the Hebrew writer, and he's encouraging the people of God to be at the meetings. And he gives a number of reasons. He talks about the assembling of ourselves together. You know the word of ourselves together? It's only found in one other place, and it speaks of the rapture, our gathering together unto him. Now you wouldn't want to miss that. When the Lord comes to the air, when we rise to meet the Lord in the air, what a joy, what a blessing, what a wonderful experience. It's used of our meetings here. Gathered together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. But then he brings this bit in, and this is a bit I want to get. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We want to encourage each other as we meet with each other in the assembly here in Rathfarnham. Do you realize what a discouragement it is when you're not here? Have you any idea? You see, there are God's people and they look to you. And when you're here, they enjoy your fellowship, they enjoy your company, and you're an encouragement to them. See, when you're not here, it's a discouragement. It's a discouragement. And the Hebrew writer says we are to encourage each other by being with the people of God when they gather in the presence of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, here's a very simple thing to be an encourager, to be here. George has mentioned I've just finished 5 years. And I remember when I had finished 6 years in Grove, I was leaving. I remember saying to those at the prayer meeting, you're the best encouragement I've had because you're always here. That's all I asked you for, just to be here. Nothing else, just be here. Nothing beats those who are here. You can't work with empty seats. It's no good. People tell you I'm there in spirit, it doesn't cut it. Can't beat being here. What an encouragement when the people of God are here. Do you come to church to encourage and to be encouraged? You see the incentive, you see the imperative, you see the implementation. But here's the implication. And this is really what I want to finish with this morning. Church should be a place of encouragement. And coming to church should be an encouraging experience, not a discouraging one. Is that what we're like this morning? Do you look forward to coming to church? You see, I know churches and I've been in them. And people have said to me, I hate going to church. There's a bad feeling about the place. There's no love, there's no harmony. Church should be a place where people are encouraged in stability, are encouraged in the scriptures, are encouraged in prayer, are encouraged to be united, are encouraged to serve the Lord, are encouraged to love one another, are encouraged to live pure lives to please God, where we are encouraged to comfort and to help and to care for those who are suffering or sorrowing or bereaved. See what I'm doing there? I'm taking all the words we looked at earlier and I'm saying that's what church should be like. That's what church should be doing. It should be a place where we're getting all of these things, where we've been challenged in these things. It shouldn't be an uncomfortable, unfriendly place. It should be a place of refuge on the Lord's day and an encouragement for weary souls. It's a challenge to the church, isn't it? It's a challenge to the Christian this morning. Let me make it very individual and very personal this morning. Can you encourage unity if you're a divisive person? Can you encourage prayer if you're a prayerless believer? Can you encourage godly living when I'm afraid your testimony leaves a lot to be desired? Can you encourage stability when you have a stop-start relationship with the Lord? Some days you're here, some days you're there. More often than not, you're not here. Can you encourage love when it's not really seen in your own life? Can you encourage service when you're idle? See what I'm doing this morning? Can you encourage faithfulness to the assembly when really you're not faithful yourself? Can you expect it of your family? Do you expect your little ones to grow up with that great habit of coming along to the place of worship, wanting to be in church, to meet with other young ones? Great to see young ones here, particularly in the Lord's Day evening, fellowshipping together, enjoying each other's company, enjoying the Lord. Are you an encourager this morning? It's a challenge to the church, isn't it? Should be an encouraging place. It's a challenge to the believer this morning. My life should be such that I can encourage others, that I can fulfill this desire to exhort one another. You know, some prisoners were were once interviewed after, I think it was World War II, and they were asking what was the most horrifying experience that the Japanese did. Wasn't the torture. Wasn't the humiliation. Do you know what broke them? Solitary confinement. Solitary confinement. Having no one to talk to. No one to share. No one to be with. And some of God's people take themselves into solitary confinement. It's a very unhappy place. The best way to be an encourager is by example. Thomas Stonewall Jackson, a very famous general during the American Civil War, in the first battle of Bull Run, it looked as if the Southern Army was going to be slaughtered. And so the army ran and ran. And Jackson stayed on his horse with his sword in his hand. And someone looked back and said, "Look at Jackson, he's like a stone wall." You know what they did? They turned around and they come back and they stood beside him and they won the battle. Because one man encouraged the rest of them to turn from going in the wrong direction. Would you be held up in Rath Phailim Baptist Church as a Stonewall Jackson? Always dependable. Always faithful. There's something about you. You're just an encouragement to look at. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the one another's that we find in the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to bear one another's burden. Help us, Lord, to consider one another. Lord, not to be self-centered. Not to be selfish. Not to be caught up in the egotistical me syndrome that the world shows all the time. Lord, help us to exhort or to encourage one another. Help this church, Lord, to be a place of encouragement where Christians can grow. Lord, when they can become stable, where they learn about the importance of prayer, living pure lives, living lives that glorify Christ. Lord, help it to be a place that people feel drawn to, not a place that repels them. Help me, Lord, to be an encourager. And help all of us, Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful assembly this would be if we're here to encourage one another. Bless thy word to our hearts, for we do ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.
We're going to sing in closing for this part of the service, number 423, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought."